I want to thank Nan for putting together this music for today. It just goes right along. You know, God works in that they may not know what we're going to say, but how the music comes together and what we're wanting to present. And I'm going to start out mentioning about the WMU. Our mission emphasis for this year is unshakable pursuit. Now, the pursuit part is our pursuit to do missions and spread the gospel. But unshakable doesn't apply to us all the time. But our foundation is based on our God, and He is unshakable. He's unshakable in His faithfulness, and that song, Great is Our Faithfulness, that just goes right along with this. He's unshakable in His worth. He's unshakable in His love. And that's what compels us to go forward and to proclaim. Now, I'm not taking too long. I had my time last year and went over, so they said keep it short. To understand about the WMU under the umbrella over here. Now, WMU's not what we used to understand WMU being, because WMU, Women's Missionary Union, we usually just applied to the girls, and you've seen a lot of boys and some men here today that's involved. And that's what I want you to understand. The WMU, or Women's Missionary Union, is an umbrella. And these different organizations are under that umbrella. We have Mission Friends, we have GAs, we have RAs, we have Youth on Mission, and Women on Mission. And sometimes we say WOM, so we got WMU, WOM, and people are like all confused. But this year, we are lacking our Mission Friends and our GAs. Nan is our GA director, and all of our GAs last year went up to youth. So the Mission Friends, of course, is our preschoolers, and the GAs, we let kindergarten through fifth grade go in there. And if you know of any children that would be in that group, bring them on Wednesday nights. They'd enjoy our Bible study. I know the adults would. And the children would be over in these departments. So just know that we'd like to invite them. Now, our RA leaders this year are Jerry Hensley and Jack Womble. And some of the mission projects that they've worked with these boys on are displayed under the umbrella here. Now, they made a collection box for the school supplies for Christmas in August that we took up through into September. They collected and brought snacks themselves for the college students at Fruitland Bible College, and we sent those up there for them to have. And then they did the canned prayer labels. That wasn't all canned goods. What it was all the food that was collected by our church for at Thanksgiving for the Gaston Baptist Association. They put a label on each item. And those labels were, Jesus loves you, with a cross. And then they said, God is good, with a big smiley face. And then we took those to the association. So when those people got that food, it had already been prayed over also. They prayed over this before we took the food. It had been prayed over, and then they had that label on there. So they also gave out boxes for those that needed it for the Operation Christmas Child. And a recent project that they did, we've got the RAs and one of our youth that's going to come, and they're going to do a little skit. So if they'll come up now.
Let's see if we have everything. Walking stick?
Check.
Water bottle?
Check.
Flashlight?
Check.
Pledge sheet?
Check.
Do you remember anything about Lottie Moon, the lady we took up offering for?
Yeah, she was a missionary in China.
lot of mission work in China, and we are hiking for missionaries all over the world.
To find work?
Yeah, you.
And Herky did lead them on the hike. He volunteered to help us out. We were shorthanded then. And the reason they had to have a flashlight, we started at 5:30 back in December. And you know it gets dark. And we didn't bring a flashlight, but Jeremiah did. He actually brought one. He said, I got a flashlight. And I said, well, you may need that before it's over with. They collected $140, the boys did, off their pledge sheets for that. And it was a great way to, we met, had a fire built, and a campfire, and they roasted marshmallows and hot dogs, and they learned about Lottie Moon. Okay, when we, Jerry started his radiation treatments, we moved, worked with Steve Brooks and Ray. Our boys were older RAs, and we moved them up to the youth, and then we separated the girls and took them. But what we ended up doing, besides their studies, we wanted to give them a little extra, and some men volunteered. In January, Carol Probst came for a couple weeks, and he taught them soap carving. And it was a good way for them to get to know some people in the church and learn something also. Then in March, Herky is coming for a few weeks, and he's going to teach them how to use a bow. You might need to really pray for that because we don't want any injuries off of it. But when we divided the girls, Ann Golson, Roxanne, and myself started working with the girls on Wednesday night. And Ann's going to come and share some of the mission work that we did there.
Good morning. I wasn't nervous one bit. I felt so calm and so good this morning. And then I thought I forgot my glasses, and I went out to a full-blown panic. I'm excited this morning to come and share with you about some of the things that our youth are doing. This is called a no-sew blanket. And our girls made three of these. And they're not only soft and warm, they're easy to make, because they're no-sew. And the good thing about these was on Wednesday night, the girls could complete one from start to finish. On one Wednesday night, they made three of these, and then they prayed over them. And then these were sent to the Greater Gaston Baptist Association. And then one night, while we were in missions, We ran across this bag that had all of these pocket prayer cloths that it was Joanne Rayfield made. And I don't know if you can see from here that each one of these little cloths has a cross in the center. And they all were packaged up nice and neat. And they had these little notes that were with them. And I'll read this little note that was with them. It says, "Hope in your hand. We place in your hand this symbol of comfort, hope. A pocket prayer cloth, a little hug from God to carry you through your day. May the presence of someone praying for you bring comforting hope, peace, and safe harbor found in each prayerful stitch created especially for you, Hardin Community Baptist Church." And we started getting these out of the bag, and there were so many of them. They were so pretty. And immediately the Lord just started putting on our hearts people that, we wanted to encourage. And so I had taken one of these to work. And there's a lady that I work with. She works part-time now. And she's been staying at home with her husband that has gotten sick, and he's been sick for about 3 years now. And so I'd seen her after that, probably about a week, and I said, I have something for you from the girls at church that it's a pocket prayer cloth. And I said, the girls prayed over them, and we wanted you to have one. Well, when she took it out, she was looking at it, and she just looked at it, and she was quiet, and she started to cry. And I said, well, what's the matter? And she said, it means so much to me to know that somebody's praying for me. And so I was able at that time, the Lord gave me the opportunity to share with her about how much God loves her and that He is with her during this trial that she's going through. And so after that, Carolyn Hensley, just like she said, Jerry is taking radiation right now at the cancer center. So Carolyn had taken about 10 of these. And she said that when you go in the cancer center, she said that there's this big table set up and it has scarves and hats and things like that on there that you're free to take. And so she said she placed her 10 on this table. And then she said that the next week when she went, she said all of them were gone. And she was so excited. And if you know Carolyn Hensley, she can get excited. And she was so excited, and we were excited. And, you know, it just made me think how much people are looking for hope and peace. And, you know, and that's not available in this world. It's only available through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we were excited about those, that we found those. And we thank Joanne Rayfield for making those. And then the last thing that the girls did was they made cookies. And that was one of our best things. Because I think on this one right here, we probably took more than we gave. Because they were delicious. And we made cookies for the seniors, for their senior meal. And the girls have been able to do a lot of things in a short amount of time. And I'm so honored and so thankful to be a part of it. And I want to leave you with scripture. It's Matthew 5:16, and it goes along with our missions, of course. And it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And so now Roxanne is going to come, and she's going to share with you a little bit about the women's mission.
Okay, our Women on Mission consists of several groups. These are special groups in our church. Together we've collected the school supplies that were mentioned for Carr Elementary, Thanksgiving meals for the Gaston Baptist Association, and the Angel Tree at Christmas. Some of these groups are the Welcome Wagon. They deliver, this is a group of ladies who deliver baskets to new families that come in the community and tell them about our church and the services that we offer. Reach Out, these are the ladies who go to the nursing homes and those that are at home and can't get out. We have the Loaves and Fishes. These meet, they make meals for families, like when someone is lost but they don't have a church that they're a member of. And then there's the Faith-Based Nursing that we have. We've partnered with Caremont Hospital, and they have a meeting like once quarterly, and they give us, we have recipe books that we gave out last year. And then we have their pharmacy coupons that are at the back of the church. If you didn't get one, just let me know. So, the Faith-Based Nursing focuses on not just health, but also our spiritual health and prevention of illnesses in our faith community. We had food drives today to collect food that is low sodium because today's Heart Healthy Day. So all of you who wear red, if you stay after, we can get a picture and send it to Caremont. We do blood pressure checks once a month, and we'll try to have those listed in the bulletin. I try to do them the first Sunday of the month, so that will be next Sunday. And it's in the children's department at 8:30. We have these Bible markers that we made, just to remind us women to take care of our heart and our family's heart. Just keeping up with regular doctor's visits, that kind of thing, blood pressure checks, diabetes, all those kind of things, just to help remind us. Anyway, they fit right in your Bible. We'll have them at the back of the church, and if we don't have enough, if you don't get one, just let us know. We'll get you one next Sunday. Now I'm going to introduce Monica.
Good morning. I was asked a few months ago if I would share my testimony with you this morning. I wasn't nervous till I got up here, and now I'm nervous. But I'm excited to be here today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you my testimony today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Monica Bigham, and in 3 weeks, I'll be Justin's wife. growing up as a pastor's kid is a hard thing to do. I always told my dad when I got married I wanted to be as far away from a pastor's home as I could get. God does have a sense of humor. My parents and I moved here in 2007 from Birmingham, Alabama, but North Carolina is always a place I will consider home. I made lifelong friends here, graduated high school, attended college, and in 3 weeks, Justin and I will move into our first home together here. Even though I consider North Carolina home, Alabama will always have a special place in my heart because the greatest decision of my life happened here. I accepted the Lord as my Savior at 7 years old through the Awana program at church. Both of my parents led me to the Lord in our upstairs laundry room after I told them how badly I wanted to be baptized. When I was in seventh grade, which was 2011, my dad had a heart attack, which led to congestive heart failure. He had a 97% blockage in a major artery, which needed a stent. The doctor shared with my family the risks of a stent, and he explained that the dye that's used during this procedure could potentially affect the kidneys and their function. Just like any other surgery, there's always risks, so we proceeded. After the procedure and during the recovery, the doctors noticed that my dad's kidney function was not what it should have been. So here we were. My dad has now had a heart attack and had full-blown kidney disease. He was placed on the transplant list and stayed on it about 1 year. Through the time he was on the transplant list, 16 people from local churches, family, friends were all tested to see if they were a match, and every single one of them was denied. During this long year of my dad's sickness, I kept questioning God. I said, God, why is this happening to us? Why him? He's such a godly man. I just didn't understand. To our family, it seemed like a hopeless situation. There were friends and family that called and visited more often than not because my dad's health was declining so quickly. Through this, God showed me that just because we're Christians doesn't mean we are exempt from hard times. I also learned that even when the situation looks hopeless and it looks like God is doing nothing, he is behind the scenes working it out to provide for our needs. This whole time, through this whole year he was on the transplant list, there were churches around Gaston and Lincoln County, and I think a few even in Hickory, who had sent out the medical application through their prayer chain, which was through email. It was basically something you took to your doctor, and they would check your medical history and your qualifications to see how close of a match you were to my dad. If you were a close match, Baptist Hospital in Wake Forest would call you in for further testing, and that's when they would let you know if you were either denied or accepted to go further as a potential donor. One day, out of the blue, my dad was studying at his office and got a call from a woman he had never met before. She told him she had received his email, or the email, and felt led to get tested. So, for the past 6 months, she had been going through vigorous testing and found out she was a perfect match for him and would be his kidney donor. Through this, it showed me how, when I can't see God answering my prayers right away, he is still behind the scenes working for our good. This year, on New Year's Eve, was 5 years since my dad received his kidney, and he's doing great. Stephanie Stanley was his kidney donor. She's become like family to us, and we can never thank her enough for her gift to my dad. So that's my dad. The night before his kidney transplant, when they were prepping him for surgery, to the left is my mom, and to the right is Stephanie Stanley, his kidney donor. And most of you may know her former husband owned Lincoln Seafood in Lincolnton. So maybe you've seen her there. But earlier, I talked about how I made the greatest decision of my life by accepting the Lord and being adopted into his family. But for those of you who don't know me, I was also adopted into my family. Being adopted is something that was always a part of my life. It has always been normal to me growing up. My mom started to explain to me that I was adopted when I was just 2 years old. She would read me picture books and tell me stories about what it meant to be adopted. And this is my story. My birth mother was 14 years old when I was born. She was in high school, still trying to find her way in life while dealing with divorced parents and trying to care for two younger siblings. Throughout her pregnancy, abortion was never an option for her, but she also knew she wouldn't be able to take care of me or provide for me after I was born. She had no support, no job, no car, and no way to care for a baby at such a young age. She started the closed adoption process when she was about 8 to 9 months pregnant, which in North Carolina back then was one of the only adoption choices you had. My parents also started this adoption application process about a year prior to this because they couldn't have any children. My birth mother was basically given these applications of potential parents, and they were only allowed to have limited information. The application stated that my dad's occupation was ministry and my mom's was healthcare. It couldn't have any details about family, where you lived. It was very, very minimal. She chose my parents because she knew I would be raised in a good home and that I would be loved. For the first 6 weeks of my life, I was in a foster home. From here, my parents were able to take me home and invest in me by showing me the love of Christ. Once I was old enough to comprehend what it meant to be adopted, I always had a desire to meet my birth mother one day. In North Carolina, the law is that under a closed adoption, the child has to be 18 before they can meet their birth parents. So soon after I turned 18, my parents and I decided that I was ready to meet her. I kind of just wanted to know where I came from and to thank her for choosing life for me. This meeting happened in October of 2015. Since then, she has gotten to be a part of important milestones in my life, including high school graduation, and in a couple of weeks, she'll get to see me get married. There's also a picture of her. So to the right of me is my birth mom holding my diploma, and to the left of me is my mom. And it's funny because every time my mom has come here, at least 5 people tell me how much I look like her. I've gotten that my entire life, but some of you didn't know I was adopted, so... but with the world the way it is today, I'm so thankful for her and her decision to choose life for me. These are just a few of the things that have shaped me into the woman I am and am still becoming today. Through my life, one word that has really stuck with me is the word chosen. It's a word I've always leaned on because first, I was chosen by God to be in His forever family. I was chosen by my birth mother to have the gift of life. I was chosen by my parents to be their own. And I was also chosen by Justin to be his wife. In 20 days, Justin and I will be married, and we will make the choice to choose each other daily for the rest of our lives. And there's also a picture of us. I always told God I wanted someone who loves the Lord more than He loves me, someone who pursues me daily and loves me with a sacrificial love the way Christ loves the church. God gave me more than I could have ever imagined when He gave me Justin, and He is the answer to all my prayers. I'm looking forward to being His wife and serving alongside Him in ministry for many years to come. Thank you so much for letting me share my story with you today, and thank you for accepting me and Justin into this church family. We love each and every one of you, and we're so thankful God led us here.
Amen. I told her last night, I said, don't you be walking around that podium like I walk around it now. I said, don't start preaching. But if you want to see a bunch of tears and a bunch of crying, come to our wedding in 3 weeks. So I'm excited to get married, and I thank all the women for how you did it today. And most of all, I tell the story all the time on Wednesday night, I think, about how me and Monica met. So I got a few minutes, so let me go ahead and just tell you how that went too. So you can cry a little bit more. My parents, they grew up in Denver, North Carolina, actually, although we're from South Carolina. They moved down to South Carolina. They grew up in Denver. My grandpa, he worked for Duke Power up in McGuire Nuclear Station, and her dad is Bill Bigham, and he wanted to start a church right after he got out of seminary. So he went to Denver, North Carolina, and it just so happened that my grandpa was looking for a church, and her dad and my grandpa got together, and they started Denver Baptist Church. Some of you know where that's at, one of the biggest churches in Denver. But they're actually the ones that built it from the ground up. And my dad went there growing up as a kid. And eventually, my mom and dad got married, and when they got married, they moved down to South Carolina, and they had me and my brothers. But, of course, Bill and Suzanne adopted Monica. And It was around 2016 when the Lord called me to preach. And Bill was, her dad was the first one to find out about it. My mom called him and they had a chat about it. And he said, well, I'd love for Justin to come and preach at my church. And I said, well, that'd be awesome to go up to North Carolina and meet Bill and preach at his church. Well, I walk in the door just expecting to go preach a regular sermon. And I get up there to preach, and I look down to my left, and there's a pretty little blonde girl. And I thought, my Lord, this is going to be a horrible sermon. Just stay focused on the text. That day I didn't walk around or nothing. I looked straight down. And after that, we ended up going out to eat, and she just couldn't get enough of me, apparently. But, you know, when all that happened and we started talking after that, it showed me that 30 years ago, 30-some years ago, when Bill and my grandpa started a church, they had no idea that God had all this and He was putting it together. Before me and Monica were ever even thought about, God was thinking about us and said, I'm going to put your dad and your grandpa together so 30 years later, y'all can come together. That's how good God is. Before you even know anything's happening, God's bringing something together for you. Isn't that awesome? And I used to pray every night. I tell people this all the time. I got down, discouraged, and depressed because I wanted a wife up to this point when I got called to preach. And there wasn't one coming along. If they did, I didn't want them. But I used to pray every night that God would give me a blonde. Sorry, brunettes. I did. I prayed specifically. I wanted a blonde. And I wanted her to go to church every Sunday. I wanted her to love the Lord more than she loves me. And when that day I woke up to go preach, I didn't know God was going to have that gift sitting right on the front row for me. And in 20 days, we're going to get married. And what we ask is that everybody in this church pray for us. Because you know we're going to need it. But I'm looking forward to loving you the rest of my life. She's going to love me the rest of my life, and no matter how hard it is. But I'm looking forward to it, and we're so thankful that God sent us to this church. You know, when you walk in this church, I hope everybody feels the same way I feel when I walk in this church. That you look at the person beside the pew in you, and you say, you know what, they genuinely love me. Because this church is a church that loves each other. And you never know what that person on the other side of the pew is going through today. So you know what? We're a people that need to love each other. This is why the Lord has established the church, and I'm going to stop preaching and we'll get into the invitation, all right? But thank you for all the women that have done everything that you've done today, for sharing your testimonies, for singing today. And you know what? Next week, Miss Nan, the choir would be good if all of them come up to the choir next week too, wouldn't it? Y'all say amen. All right. It sounded good, didn't it? All right. Well, let me pray, and then we'll go right into our invitation. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for just this chance to be in your house, Lord. We thank you for all the songs that were sung that were uplifting to your name, Lord. And we thank you for all the testimonies that were given. Lord, we know that everybody in here has a story about how you saved them. Everybody has a story about the hard times that you brought them through. And God, there's so many people in here just today that are walking through a hard time. And I pray, God, that you'll comfort them to know that, God, you're on their side. Lord, you hadn't left them nor forsaken them. And Lord, in 10 years, they'll be able to have the story that you came through for them. But Father, I pray that you'll keep them pushing on for you. And as the song said, that we're going to make it. For you promised us that we would. And Lord, we thank you so much for that this morning. Father, I pray that as we continue to minister, as we continue to come here every week, I pray that you'll make us a people that love one another the way that you love us. God, help us to share the love of Christ with everybody. Lord, and we're so thankful that before we even know about what we need, you're already putting it together and planning it for us. God, we thank you so much for loving us and showing that love by sending your Son to die on the cross for us. And Father, we love you so much. We thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.